God, we come to you this morning and we acknowledge that you are good. And you have blessed us far greater than we can imagine. And Lord, help us this morning as we receive of those blessings. Help us to remember who we are in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. When was the last time that you experienced getting lost? I heard a story, maybe you've heard this story before too, about a musician who was really good at playing the bagpipes. And so ever so often, a funeral director would ask him to play for a funeral, or sometimes he'd be asked to play for a wedding. And this one funeral director asked him if he would do a graveside service for a man who was homeless, who didn't really have any family or any friends, and so the director thought it might be kind of a nice touch if this musician could come and play a song or two. Well, the day came for the graveside service, and the man, the musician, he had never been to this cemetery before, and he got lost, took a few wrong turns, miscalculated how long it would take, and by the time he got to the cemetery, it was an hour after the graveside service was supposed to begin. And he felt so bad. The hearse was gone. The tent was taken down. There was nobody there. The only people that were there were the diggers, and they were off eating lunch to the side. He felt so bad. He walked up to the diggers and apologized. And I'm just so sorry. I know I was supposed to be here an hour ago, and I know I was supposed to play for this man, and there was probably not going to be very many people there, and I just feel so bad. He walked over to the grave, and he noticed that the vault had already been sealed. I mean, he had just missed everything, and he felt so bad, and he didn't really know what to do, so he just got out his bagpipes, and he just thought, I'll just play a song in honor of this man. I was supposed to be here. I'll just play a song. He starts playing Amazing Grace, and it becomes this very emotional moment. The diggers stop eating lunch, and they come over, and they take off their hats, and there's just this special moment as he plays Amazing Grace with his bagpipes. He's playing it as hard as he can, as good as he can, and they start to wipe tears from their eyes. It's just an emotional moment. He finishes the song and decides to get back into his car and head off, and as he's getting into the car, he hears one of the diggers say, you know, I have never experienced anything like this before. And I have been putting in septic tanks for the past 20 years. I'm glad you got that. But sometimes we can get lost. We can get confused. We can get disoriented to where we think the installation of a septic tank is the grave that we're supposed to be at. But we don't just get lost in trying to make it to appointments on time. Sometimes we get lost in life. Sometimes we have moments where we wake up and we're disoriented and we're confused and we're uncertain about who we are and we're lost. Maybe that's how you came here this morning. There's a writer named Walker Percy who lived in the 20th century. He started his career as a doctor, physician. But then he noticed that as he treated people and as he experienced illness himself, that sometimes people need something more, that a doctor can treat them physically, but sometimes we need something deeper that goes to our soul. And so he decided to become a writer. And maybe one of the most influential books that he wrote was in 1983. He wrote this book called Lost in the Cosmos, a mock self-help book. And he wrote the book as kind of a satire against the self-help industry. And you probably know about the self-help industry. If you go to a bookstore, there's all these different books in the category of self-help. And these are books that if you read them, supposedly they will help you be a better you. And they're all like 10 steps to being a better person, or 3 new ideas that will make you rich in 90 days, or 5 different things you can do to be a better parent. You've probably read books like that before. But Percy, in his book, argues that the self-help industry can't deliver on what it promises. It can't truly make you into a better you because it fails. The self-help books fail to answer a fundamental question, and that question is, who are you? He says it's interesting. We can study things objectively. You can look at an organ in your body, and we can study that objectively and know everything about that organ and how it functions, how it acts, and all the chemical processes that go along in that organ. But we can't fully understand and contemplate who we are. Our self is so mysterious. And no matter how many self-help books that tell us all these principles and things we do, until you answer that question, you are not going to be fulfilled. And instead, you're going to be lost in the cosmos. And I think Percy's right. That there are many people today who they wake up in the morning and they don't know who they are. They don't understand themselves. And because of that, they're lost in the cosmos. And if that is you this morning, if you walked in here into this assembly and you felt a little bit lost because of where you are right now, maybe because of a relationship that just recently ended because you lost your job, maybe because you're going through an illness, or maybe because things seem to be going pretty well on the outside, but inside you know there's just something wrong and you don't know who you are and you feel lost, I've got some good news for you this morning. Because I believe Ephesians chapter 1 helps us understand who we are so we're not lost. I want you to take your Bibles and open them to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul begins his letter to the Ephesians in a very unique way. He starts it off in verses 3 through 14 with one huge, monstrous sentence. 12 verses, 201 words, and they are all one sentence. Now I'll try to go home and diagram that this afternoon. Good luck with that. And he starts off the sentence this way. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That phrase is a form. It's a specific Jewish form of praise. It's called berakah, which in Hebrew means blessing. And there would be various occasions where a writer or a person would start off their prayer by saying, "Blessed be the God of Israel," or "Blessed be the God of Abraham," or "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Maybe a great example of this is in Genesis chapter 14, story of Melchizedek, strange, weird priest that meets up with Abraham. We don't know a lot about Melchizedek, but he meets up with Abraham right after a battle, right after war. And in that meeting, he prays on behalf of Abraham and says, "Blessed be the God Most High. Blessed be El Elyon, who has delivered the enemies into your hands." That's a berakah. That's a very short one compared to Paul's. His is quite long, 201 words, 12 verses. But if you notice Paul's praise as he begins the book, there's some unique characteristics. Number one, it's Trinitarian in content. He starts off by praising God the Father, who is the source of all blessings and all good things. Then he moves to Jesus Christ the Son, who is the sphere in which all spiritual blessings are found. And then he moves to the Spirit, the one who indwells us and is the one who is the power by which we receive the blessings that come from God. That Paul, as he outbursts in praise to begin this letter, he wants to praise the full triune God in all his glory and all his majesty. And then the second key point is notice the verbs. I don't know if you caught it when Austin was reading it. He did a great job. Did you catch the verbs? Eugene Peterson, in his book, Practice Resurrection, said the power of Paul's words are the verbs. That's where the force of it is, that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. He's chosen us before the foundation of the world. He's predestined us. He's freely bestowed upon us. Literally, Peterson says that word should be drenched. He drenched us with his glorious grace. He lavished us with the riches, his glorious riches. He made known to us the mystery of his will. He's gathering all things, summing up all things in Christ. One scholar described it kind of like a snowball. and said it's almost as if you can sense this snowball that's coming down a mountain and it's picking up steam and it's picking up, it's growing bigger, it's getting more snow, and it's just growing, growing, growing. You can almost sense it as Paul writes these words. It's just bursting forth from his heart, this incredible sense of praise. Thank you, God, for your spiritual blessings. Thank you that you've chosen us. Thank you that you've lavished us. Thank you that you've drenched us with your grace. And on it goes. And the question that I want us to think about this morning is, why did Paul write this? As he's beginning this letter to the Ephesian Christians to help them understand their identity, to help them know how Christ's coming has changed everything about who they are, why did he begin with this barakah, this praise to God? I mentioned earlier that sometimes we can be lost in the cosmos, as Percy put it. And when we feel that way, and we all have moments like that, don't we? We tend to do one of two things. On the one hand, when we feel lost, we try to distract ourselves. We try to do something in our life that will cause us to not think about the fact that we feel lost, that we don't know who we are, that we don't have any sense of purpose or meaning in our life. And so we run after different things. We run after destructive substances, addictive substances, thinking that if I just get high, that will cause me to forget about the fact that I feel empty inside. Or we run after pleasure, thinking that this temporary sense of happiness in whatever form that I experience it, that will make me forget about the fact that in my heart I feel incredibly sad. Or we run after something else. We run after mindless activities, and we do mindless things oftentimes through technology, thinking that if I do these activities, that'll make me not think about the boredom that I feel in my soul. But the problem is, no matter how much we pursue and how many things we run after, eventually the high ends, eventually the happiness goes away. Eventually we have to stop doing the activity that we're doing. And we remember we're lost. We're lost in the cosmos. Well, so if that doesn't work, we try a second tactic, and that is that we achieve for ourselves. We try to create an identity for ourselves based on what we can do, how we perform, or what we look like. And so we study hard in school, thinking that being a good student, that's my identity. Or we work hard at our job, thinking that it's through my job that I will find a sense of who I am. Or we make sure that we look as attractive as we can, thinking that it's how I look that people will know who I am and will give me meaning to my life. I remember when I was in college, it was the end of the semester, and I was getting ready to go check my grade for one of my classes. This was back in the days where you didn't check your grade on the computer. You actually had to go to the classroom, and the teacher posted it there. And it was a pretty tough class. And I remember that I had to study really hard, and I was really hoping that I got a good grade in the class. And that meant a lot to me because people kind of knew me, my friends knew me as someone who got good grades, and so I had to live up to that expectation. So I'd studied really hard to try to get a good grade in this class, and I was walking to see the grade that was posted, and I was anxious, I was nervous, and I remember thinking this thought. I remember thinking, I sure hope that I get an A in this class, because if I don't, who am I? Who am I? Now, for some of you, that sounds really silly. But for those of you that are achievement-oriented and are driven academically, you know exactly why I thought that. Because we try to achieve and create some kind of identity for ourselves. That's who we are, what we do, and what we perform, so we better live up to it. And if we don't live up to it, then who are we, really? You see, it doesn't matter how much you achieve or how much you perform or what you look like, how attractive you are on the outside. That can never fully satisfy and fulfill your soul. That's the message of the book of Ecclesiastes, where the writer says you can chase after pleasure. You can chase after relationships. You can chase after good works. You can chase after wisdom. You can chase after justice. You can chase after all of these things, but that's never going to fully satisfy because those things don't answer the fundamental question of who are you? There's more to you than just what you get for the grade in your class that you're in. There's more to you than the job that you perform on Monday through Friday. There's more to you than what you look like on the outside. Who are you? Who are you? And there's so many people that don't know the answer to that question, and they get up on Monday and they go to work. Some people don't go to work, but they get up on Monday and they go through a routine and they go through motions, and they don't know who they are. They're lost in the cosmos. Their life is cursed because they don't know who they are. And then we turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, and Paul burst out in 201 words of incredible praise. How could he do such a thing? Could it be that Paul writes these words because he knows who he is? He's not lost. He's not lost in the cosmos. He's found in Christ Jesus. And I think if we would stop long enough, if we would put aside the distractions, and if we would stop achieving and being on that treadmill to achieve more and more, and just take a moment and pause and listen to the words of Paul, I think we would start to understand who we are as well. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you. And you, with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. For in Him He chose you. And He chose you before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined you and you to be adopted into sonship through Jesus Christ according to His will and His delight, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He freely bestowed, which He drenched on you and you. In Him we have redemption. You have redemption. I have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His glorious grace, which He has lavished. He's lavished it. Abundance has been placed upon you and you. With all wisdom and understanding, He's made known to you the mystery of His will, which He purposed in Christ Jesus to be put into effect, and that at the fullness of time He might sum up all things in heaven and on earth in Christ Jesus. In Him we were also chosen. You were chosen. I was chosen. We all were chosen and predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in conformity to His will, so that we might be the first to hope in Christ to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. And you also, even you, Joe, were included in Christ. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked with a seal by the Holy Spirit, which is a deposit for the future inheritance until the redemption of God's own possession. All of us, we are all God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. What I love about this text is if you just simply listen to it, I mean, if you really listen to it, it tells you who you are. I love the verbs and the fact that all the power, all the action, all the movement of the text is from God. Did you catch that? He's the one who blesses. He's the one that chooses. He's the one that lavishes. He's the one that drenches. He's the one that marks. He's the one that does it all. The only thing that we do in the whole text is we just simply believe. Or you might say we simply receive. And I think Paul is making an incredible point here. He's telling us that everything we are, our whole life, is bound up in God. I like the way John Stott put it. He put it this way. He says, everything we have and are in Christ both comes from God and returns to God. It begins in his will, and supposed to be, and ends in his glory. That was my mistake. For this is where everything begins and ends. It's all in God. The reason why you're here today, because of God. The reason why you were created, because of God. The reason why you're alive, because of God. The reason why you have a job, because of God. The reason why you have a family, it's because of God. The reason why you're still in existence is because of God. It's all because of him. We exist because of the will of God. We are saved because of the grace of God. We are still alive because of the power of God. And the purpose of our life is for the glory of God. It is all wrapped up in God. And when we start to understand that, and we start to grasp that, when we start to receive that, we're not lost anymore. We're not lost anymore. We're not living a cursed life where we wake up in the morning and we don't know who we are. We know who we are. We start to experience a blessed life because we are found in Christ Jesus, because we know who we are because of God. Jesus changed everything, folks. I want to say that every week. Because in Christ, we know who we are. I was having a conversation a couple weeks ago with Christine Sawyer. It's one of our widows here at Southside, widow of our beloved minister, Wyatt Sawyer, who passed away last year. And in conversation with her, I listened and learned a little bit about the struggles of being a widow or a widower. And we need to do a better job here at our church of lifting up and encouraging and blessing the widows among us. It's hard to be a widow or a widower. You lose your mate, someone you've been with for many years, you've shared life together, and then they're gone. And you find yourself waking up in the morning, and you're lost. You don't know who you are anymore. You don't understand why you're here anymore. You're lost in the cosmos. And Christine shared with me that she's had moments like that, mornings like that. And so I asked her, I said, well, how are you making it? How are you surviving? And this is what she said. She said, every morning when I wake up, the first thing that I do is I sit down and I count my blessings. And I remember all the good things that God has done for me. And I would venture to say the reason why she does that is because when we remember the blessings of God, when we let God speak to us of his grace and of his will and of his power and of his glory, when we let God tell us about how he created us and how our whole life is bound up in him, when we listen to the blessings of God, it reorients us and it tells us who we are. It reminds us that we're not lost. We're found in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, if you came in to our assembly and you're lost in the cosmos, my message to you this morning is that through Christ and because of God and by the power of the Spirit, you can be found. It starts by repentance, turning our life from our old ways to our new ways, committing to following him, and it starts also in baptism. Baptism is really about identity. It's about giving up our old will and surrendering to Christ's will. And from the from every day forward from our baptism, we look back to that date of baptism and we say, that's who I am. I'm someone who died to self and has been raised to newness of life through Christ. That's who I am. That's my identity. I'm not lost. I'm found in Christ Jesus. And if you haven't done that yet this morning, do it this morning. During our song, just come to the front. But there might be some of us who have done that, but we've wandered away. And we've waked up recently with moments of feeling lost, and we know it's because we need to come back. We need to come back to the Lord, and we need to listen to Him, and we need to be found in Him again. And our shepherds are going to surround this building. Just walk to one of them. If you're going through a difficult time this morning, walk to one of them. Say, pray for me that I can listen to God and remember the blessings of God and remember who I am. If we can help you this morning, please come as together we stand and sing.